Sneed approached the saloon, one hand on his revolver's butt. He pushed through the bat wings, took two steps, and stopped. As Watts walked up beside him, Sneed looked around the dimly lit room. Seven or eight cowboys and freighters sat here and there before soapy beer mugs, quieter even than usual for this time of the day. Several customers glanced at the two lawmen meaningfully, then shuffled their gazes to the bar, where the big bounty hunter stood with a bottle and a shot glass. Sneed's gaze held on the grisly object sitting beside the old crow bottle, a shock of auburn hair winging down around the head's bulging right eye. The sheriff's stomach soured.
Dog my cats, Reuben. What the hell is that?
The giant in the buffalo tunic turned his ugly face to the sheriff. He stood sideways at the bar, facing the front window, his left elbow on the mahogany. He held his shot glass in his right hand. The butt of his sawed-off rifle jutted up near his wrist. Reuben Pacheco nodded at the head, his birthmark turning a deeper shade of crimson as he beamed through the white beard on that side of his face.
That there's Lester Hardison. That there's my winter punk. Didn't see no reason to haul his whole body and then fag a good horse.
His face still scrunched up with incredulity, Sneed walked heavy-footed toward the giant. His gaze was glued to the head. He stopped a few feet away from it. Swallowing bile sent up by his churning stomach, Sneed extended an arm, pointing.
That ain't Lester Hardison, you cork-haired hickernut. That's Bill Thornbush, ramrod of the T-Bar Ranch.
The bartender was standing several yards away, his back to the back bar's mirror.
Jesus jump! I thought he looked familiar.
Pacheco looked at the head, furrowing his brows.
That ain't Hardison?
No, it ain't Hardison.
Sure it is.
It's Bill Thornbush.
Pacheco stared at the head.
It sure looks like Hardison. And he sure didn't deny it. But then, I reckon I didn't give him a whole lot of time.
Where'd you run into him?
Watts had come up behind the bounty hunter, his shotgun raised, both rabbit ear hammers thumbed back.
Up along the trail to Del Norte.
That's T-Bar country, you fool. And that there is Bill Thornbush, one of the most respected ramrods in the Southwest. Why, he rode for Good Night and Ed Bassingdale.
Pacheco glanced at the head again. Fingering his chin whiskers pensively, he turned to Sneed.
Well, hell, it was an honest mistake.
I told you to stay clear of my town, you wild-assed old lummox. Now here you are, toting Bill Thornbush's head.
Sneed glanced at Watts, standing behind Pacheco, shotgun raised to his shoulder and aimed at the giant's head.
Now I reckon you'll be here till the circuit judge rolls through and arranges a necktie party. Then you'll be out of my hair for good.
Sneed raised his Colt threateningly.
Lift those hands high above your head, Reuben, and I mean high.
Pacheco just stared at him for several seconds. Then he glanced at Watts behind him. Seeing the two wide bores of the shotgun yawning at his head, he set his shot glass on the bar and raised his hands.
Higher!
Again, Pacheco just stared at him, pondering a move. Deciding it wouldn't work, not with that barn blaster bearing down on him from behind, he raised his hands above his head till his fingers brushed the ceiling. Watts leaned forward and, holding his shotgun in his right hand, removed Pacheco's sawed-off rifle from its custom-made holster with his left. When Watts had set the rifle on the bar a good ways away from Pacheco, Sneed reached inside the giant's tunic and, squinting against the smell of the man, removed a Colt Navy from a shoulder holster. When he'd removed a Green River knife from a belt sheath and a .36 pocket pistol and an Arkansas toothpick from the man's right boot, Sneed backed away, his Colt raised at the giant's forehead.
You got any more weapons? We'll find them when we strip you down in the jailhouse.
You ain't stripping me, you wank stain.
Sneed wagged the pistol, indicating the bat wings.
Move your ass!
Pacheco finally lumbered across the room and threw the bat wings. Watts followed him out. Pausing before the doors, Sneed turned to the bartender.
Ray, put Thornbush's head in the sack and bring it over to the jailhouse.
I ain't touching that thing.
You bring it over, you hear?
Ah, Jesus.
The bartender turned his pained gaze to Thornbush's head, staring sleepily across the saloon where the customers sat in a churchly hush.
That's more like it.
When Sneed and Watts had followed Pacheco over to the jailhouse, he ordered the giant to stop a few feet before the door. Telling Watts to keep his shotgun on the bounty man's back, Sneed walked around front and opened the door.
Now get in there and get your clothes off.
I told you, you wankstains try undressing me, you're gonna be wearing your 10 stars on your forehead.
Hold your ass, you son of a bitch.
Watts lifted his shotgun high and planted the butt between the giant's shoulder blades, sending him stumbling into the jailhouse. Watts turned to Sneed, grinning.
Hear that, Will Jones? The big bastard's gonna pin our stars to our foreheads.
Ouch.
Sneed rubbed his temple as he turned through the door.
That'd hurt something serious.
Watts followed the sheriff inside and closed the door behind him. Later, the jailhouse door opened about 2 feet. Pacheca poked his head out, glancing first one way down the street and then the other. Seeing that the street was clear, the town quiet, the big man stepped outside, drew the door closed behind him, and strode across the street to his horse. His sawed-off Winchester jutted up from the custom-made holster belted around his bearskin tunic. Casual, unhurried, Pacheca turned a stirrup out and swung his bulky frame into the saddle. The bounty hunter took another look around. Still seeing no one, he reined the big buckskin away from the hitch rack and headed north past the tool store. He rode loosely, arms high, chin up, like a man heading home, tired but proud after a hard day's work. When the last of the town's shanties and the old stage station had passed away behind him, he gigged the buckskin into a canter. A few minutes later, Reuben Pacheca rounded the bend past the lightning-split cedar and was gone. Only minutes later, Miss Polly and Miss Sarah stepped out from the alley between the millinery and the saddle shop. They angled across the street toward the jailhouse. Miss Polly carried a plate of freshly baked cookies in both hands, beaming and shy. Pausing before the closed jailhouse door, Polly turned to Sarah.
You don't think I'm being too forward, do you?
How could you be any more forward than you've already been?
Good point.
She gave the door a cursory knock, turned the knob, and threw it open. Both girls froze in the doorway. The plate tumbled from Polly's hands, crashing to the floor, sending cookies and china shards flying. Polly jumped back into Sarah, and the two girls turned and ran away from the horrific scene as fast as they could.
Good Lord! What in the hell was that all about?
Ray McCarthy gazed into the street. Miss Sarah and Miss Polly were running as quickly as they could into the alleyway. As the afternoon drinkers stumbled out behind the barman, squinting against the sun glare, several carrying their beers, Ray McCarthy turned his curious gaze to the jailhouse's open door. Frowning, he shoved the glass and the towel at the nearest customer and headed across the street. Several men trailed him at a distance, looking around as though the town were being attacked by Indians. Several shopkeepers had appeared from their stores and were slowly heading in the bartender's direction, faces lined with worry. Ray McCarthy slowly approached the jailhouse.
Sneed? Watts? You men in there?
Blinking his eyes and staring into the room's dense shadows, McCarthy stepped over the threshold and stopped suddenly. Before him on a battered desk facing the door sat the severed, gaping heads of Sheriff Sneed and Deputy Watts, their 5-pointed stars pinned to their bloody foreheads. A mile beyond the town, Reuben Pacheca reined his buckskin to a halt. The massive bounty hunter fished a folded paper from the inside breast pocket of his tunic. He opened the sheet carefully and held it out, frowning. He'd found the sheet pinned to the bulletin board in Sneed's office. It read, "Wanted, dead or alive, Kuno Massey, for the cold-blooded murder of Vince Evans of Julesburg. $5,000. Pacheca scrutinized the sketch of the young man included on the Dodger, then refolded the sheet and stuffed it back in his pocket. He shook his head, impressed by the amount of the bounty.
Come on, animal.
He gigged the buckskin up the trail, heading north.
Let's earn us a grubstake.